Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. And as you probably know by now, we're very, very glad to hear from you, and invite you into the studio every day. We like hearing directly from you. So if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and this is your opportunity to call and speak directly with us inside the studio here at Basic Gospel. That number is 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it because it's Basic Gospel. And Bob, it hardly seems possible that a full year has passed since we celebrated your 60th birthday. So happy 61st, my friend.
Well, did you have to tell everybody that age?
Absolutely.
I mean, did you have to? Did you just have to do that? did God move you to give that number out there?
But... I felt it in my spirit. I did feel it in my spirit. Now, before you take off here, the staff has put together a card for you, and it is, I think it's very, very cute. And it has the pictures of four dachshunds on the front. One caption says, no doubt, and he's talking about your good looks. One says, no doubt. The other says, absolutely. The next one says, you bet. And the fourth one says, it's obvious. The final one says, not so sure. Inside it says, 4 out of 5 docs agree, you look great. So each of the staff members have put a little note inside your card. But, you know, since you and I have been together and in this ministry for a million years, maybe longer.
Yes.
I took the liberty to write something a little bit more special for you. Not more special, but personal for you. And it says, not speaking of looks, you're simply the best. Your faith and your friendship withstand every test. And speaking of friendship, so freely you give. I truly am blessed in these late years I live. But quickly I'll add that it's not about me. Today it's your day, so get out there and do something really fun. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you to all the staff. And, boy, I just work with the best people in the world.
Yes.
And we just share in this wonderful outreach together, and it's family. It really is. It's just a big family, and we truly love one another, and I certainly appreciate the card and the sentiments, and that 4 out of docs agree that
I
look great. 4 out of 5. So that's good stuff right there.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, at my age, your age, we're always looking for rest.
Yes.
And, you know, getting tired and those sort of things. And, you know, there's lots of people out there looking for rest as well, but they're looking for an internal tranquility.
Yes.
I mean, they're just chaotic inside, and they're getting tired of the rat race. They're getting tired of the struggle, tired of trying to figure out life. They're tired of trying to figure out where their place is with God, and they're just restless on the inside.
Yeah.
And that's why I love this particular passage so much in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And it's interesting, the context of this is, you know, messengers from John the Baptist are sending word out to Jesus, are you the one, and all of this, and he's talking about places where he went, and they were unrepentant.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't look to him as who he claimed to be. They rejected the Messiah. And then he says this in verse 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So we're struggling, and we're trying to figure out God. We're trying to figure out what he's like. We're doing everything that we can to draw near to him, to get closer, to get him to turn our way, to like us, to pat us on the back and say, you're okay. And that's what religion is.
Yeah.
It's just this fervent work that we do to try to draw close to God.
Yeah.
And Jesus is saying, hold on, folks, it's all in my hands. You know, God knows me. I know the Father, and I will make him known to you.
Mm-hmm.
Rest. Let me do what I have come to do, and that's to make the Father known. And so after that, he says this, come to me, therefore. You know, if I'm the one that can make the Father known to you, come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Come to me. And then he says, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, that word rest is inner tranquility. It's not about taking a nap or having 8 hours of sleep at night or having a day of rest. It's about an internal, an inner tranquility. Mm-hmm. And we're all looking for that. And the only place that we can find that is in Jesus Christ. So he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. The religious yoke is heavy. It's burdensome.
Indeed.
But not the yoke of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the one that's doing the work, that's done the work, has finished the work. So his yoke is light. And so he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Again, it's that inner tranquility. That's what we're looking for. Bob, I've done men's Bible study groups for almost 40 years.
Yeah.
And just meeting with men and just talking about the good news of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and resurrection. And oftentimes I'll ask in these groups, if there's anything that you could request of God, what would it be? He said, I just want to be at peace in my heart. Mm-hmm. I just want to have a calmness. I just want that chaos and that anxiety to calm down.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus is saying here. You're going to find that type of rest in Jesus. He is going to give rest for your souls. And again, he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, folks, if you're out there and you are wearied, you are burned out, you are just blistered on the inside, all of those things, heed the words of Jesus. Respond to this invitation. Come unto him, and he will give you rest for your souls.
Indeed. He is the one to go to. Thank you, Bob, for those wonderful thoughts. It is Basic Gospel. It's the type of thing you hear every day on this broadcast about the fullness of the love and grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're glad that you're here to benefit from hearing this. Again, 844-322-2742. We would love for you to come inside the studio right now and be a part of this edition. So if it's the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, you are hearing Basic Gospel live, and the phone lines are open for you right now. 844-322-2742. And friends, this Basic Gospel message needs to keep going, reaching out as far as possible, telling the story of the good news of God's love, grace, and life in Jesus Christ. That's why we do what we do every day on this program, and we can only keep doing it, however, with your faithful support. Your gifts do make a difference, and when you give, people's lives are touched. Help us keep it going by making your October gift today, if you can, at basicgospel.net. And when you make your gift, we're going to send you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel. We encourage you to do that. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. We had this call that came in overnight. Bob, let's listen.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Just want to say you're doing a great job. Question, is it right to receive a tax write-off from your church donation? I've always been curious about that. And is it okay to receive a tax write-off on your tithes? I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one. Keep up the good work. God bless. Bye.
Well, thanks for that call. I mean, certainly there's lots of talk about that in you know, the news today. Should churches be able to have properties tax-free, basically? Should we be able to write off our giving to churches and to other charitable organizations? And right now the law says it's okay.
It's
here in America.
Traditional America, yeah.
That's exactly right. And here's the reason why. What the U.S. government has determined is that churches and nonprofit religious organizations provide a benefit to society that government cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
Government cannot do what churches do, what nonprofit religious organizations do. And the government has deemed what we do in this nonprofit world, in this world of telling people about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is of great benefit to society. So they're saying that, you know, whatever dollars are contributed to further the mission and the causes of the gospel, then we're going to recognize that as a benefit, and we're going to allow people to take that as a deduction from their taxes. So I think it's a positive statement that the government is saying about the benefit of churches here in America and of organizations like ours here in America. And certainly there is a benefit that far outweighs anything that people could receive elsewhere. I mean, where else are you going to go to hear the words of eternal life? Where else are you going to go to find true and lasting forgiveness of sins? Where else are you going to go to find an identity that is unshakable, unmovable in the person of Christ Jesus? Where else are you going to go to find the hope that the gospel provides? Yeah. And so the government has said, hey, that's something special. And it's a benefit to the citizens of this country. We want to recognize that benefit. So we're saying that it's okay to write off any gift that goes to those particular organizations.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate hearing from this caller, and hope you will reach out again if we can be a further help. But right now, come on in, folks. Be a part of this edition at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk with David, listening to us in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, David. Welcome to A Basic Gospel.
Thank you. Nice to speak with you, and I love you guys.
Well, thank you, David.
Very much.
We appreciate that. That means a lot.
My question is going to be, how do I convince my Catholic family members and friends that praying to Mary and bowing to her statue is completely wrong and could possibly set them up for a demonic attack?
Well, David, that is a really good question. And I think the answer to that is to really get them deep into the Word of God. I would ask to see if they would be open to doing a Bible study together, and to really focus the Bible study on the person of Jesus Christ, the deity of Jesus Christ. And as you're going through that, all of those passages, you will notice that any mention of Mary is absent from those passages. The Bible never gives her equal standing with Jesus Christ, never says anything about praying to Mary, never says anything that the Catholic Church does. So I think if you will get them into the Word of God and show them who Jesus is, then in light of that, you can ask some questions about their belief in Mary. And, you know, in light of what we just read, the fact that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were created by him, and this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In light of this passage, what does that say about your belief concerning Mary? And I think you let the truth of the Word of God kind of guide those questions and that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah, because, you know, our radio broadcast has been in different areas for years and years and years. It's heavily Catholic, that has, you know, a predominantly Catholic population. And our program is well received in every Catholic Catholic population. And they start hearing about forgiveness of sins, and then when they start hearing about the totality of what Christ accomplished at the cross, they start asking questions. Well, why do I keep going to the priest to try to get more forgiveness if Jesus died to forgive me once and for all? And as they start contrasting what they were brought up believing and what the Word of God is saying, then they start experiencing freedom, and they start really letting their foundation be centered in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So I think the same can be true here, David, as you kind of draw people to the Word of God and establish it as the standard of truth, and begin talking about Jesus and his finished work, I think they'll start asking questions themselves. Why are we doing this if the Bible says this?
All right. Do you have any scriptures that can help me point them to the right direction?
We do. Yeah. And let me do this, David. We have a book called The Basic Gospel. And it looks at all the essentials of the Christian faith. And I've written a chapter to kind of introduce the book, but the rest of the book is just scriptures. So we look at Jesus and we list all the scriptures about who he is, who he claimed to be, the fact that he is God and what he promised to do. Then we look at the Word of God, establish it as the final authority as far as our standard for truth. Then we look at the cross and the resurrection and the new covenant. So you could just open this up and just start reading through these passages. And I think as you do, then, you know, it's going to become clear that there's a contrast in what the Bible says and what their tradition has taught them. So,
all right.
So let me put you on hold, and we will send that to you, David. And thank you so much for calling, and keep us posted, okay?
I sure will. God bless you.
Hey, thank you, David. In any way we can help, let us know. Yeah. You hold on.
Well, the Basic Gospel, of course, is the our way of saying thanks to our donors this month of October. And friends, if you have not yet made your contribution, we would love for you to do that. And when you do, we'll send you a copy of the Basic Gospel. As Bob said, it contains the essential truths for you to grow in God's love and grace. So go to basicgospel.net and click that donate link right there on the homepage. And friends, also, we hope you'll take advantage of the growing list of resources that we've produced to lead you into the fullness of God's love and grace found only in the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, in the Basic Gospel online store, you'll find books, study guides, CDs, and DVDs, all containing teaching that can aid your understanding of what we have been freely given in the person of Jesus Christ. Again, you'll find it all under resources at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we added this question from Jones, and it's kind of interesting, I thought. He said, my question has to do with co-participation. Is there any role that we play in the process of being made like Christ? I understand that nothing I do will make God more happy with me, and nothing I do will separate me from him or his love, but what should a believer who is wanting to pursue righteousness do? Once coming into relationship with him and he indwells me, should I simply sit back and do nothing for fear of it being considered works? It's tricky to know if trying to abstain from sin is trying to earn God's pleasure or just participating in the good work that he's doing. Take the common male struggle of lust of the eyes and pornography as an example. What should one do? Accountability software? Simply pray? Get rid of the internet? Please advise.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And, you know, the goal of the Christian life, and this is not original with me, but the goal of the Christian life is not to stop sinning. It's to start trusting. And that's what we find when we read the New Testament. For example, Galatians 5:16, it says, if you will walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So most of the time, we're in the business of trying to clean up the flesh, trying to make the flesh holy. Well, that's a futile exercise. We're not going to change the nature of the flesh. So we can simply experience the fruit of self-control as we walk by the Spirit. So walking by the Spirit is just another way of saying trusting Jesus Christ. It's another way of saying walking by faith. It's another way of saying walking in the truth. And another way of saying walking in love. All of those are the same thing, that we simply abide in Christ, and we do that by faith. And the result of that is we're not gonna fulfill the desires of the flesh. And we're going to really see the fruit of the Spirit in abundance working itself out in our day-to-day lives. So God knows that we're going to struggle with the temptations of this world. He knows we're going to struggle with the desires of the flesh. That's just a given. That's just part of being a human.
Yes.
Living in this world today, living in this body of flesh. But we're not of the world. We are of the Spirit. and we are led by the Spirit. So our concentration just needs to be on Jesus. As the writer of Hebrews says, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. So as we do, as Peter said, we're going to participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that's in this world. Mm-hmm. So keep your eyes on Jesus, rely, depend, trust upon him, and the result of that is going to be you're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate hearing from our listeners. Any way that you get a question to us is a great way. So, as I say, we love hearing from you, so don't hesitate to drop us an email or leave us a voicemail overnight, whatever it happens to be. We had this question from Sharon. She says, our family has a long-standing problem of disunity. My sister died at age 39 holding a grudge against her entire family, and there are other deep issues as well. I know that God is not pleased with this, and I would like counsel about what to do to change this family dynamic and bring true healing. We're all in our 50s or 60s, we do not have time to continue judging, rejecting, and giving the silent treatment. What's to be done?
Well, I think she's nailed the problem and has nailed the fact that holding a grudge isn't beneficial. There's nothing positive that happens when you hold a grudge.
Never.
That grudge is going to turn into bitterness, and that bitterness is going to keep you from experiencing the grace of God in that particular situation. So somebody needs to take the lead. Somebody needs to take the initiative and say, hey, Christ has taken all this upon himself. And that's the good news. He bore our sins in his body. He died in our place. He died for our sins. So if you're in Christ, you've already received that forgiveness of sins, and that's your foundation for every other relationship. Mm-hmm. The fact that you've been reconciled to God, that God has taken your sins away, he remembers them no more, that frees you to let go of the grudge, to let go of the bitterness, and to extend forgiveness. To extend an act of grace to a family member. Now, whether they receive it or not, that's up to them. But I think if, as far as you're concerned, extend that and be at peace with that particular person.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the best thing that you can do in this particular situation. Take the lead.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we have a call on the screen, Bob. Let's see if we can squeeze that one in.
Well, let's go to John in Dallas, Texas. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call. My question is, I'm a Christian and a believer, and I certainly believe in the triunion. And I've been reading where we're to put, where I've always been under the impression that we're to pray to Jesus or to pray unto Jesus. But I've been reading a lot lately where we are to pray unto the Spirit. Could you give me some clarification on that?
Well, John, I think we really are praying to God the Father in Jesus's name and in his authority.
Right.
It's he that Jesus Christ who's given us access to God the Father. And the Holy Spirit is what works inside of us to kind of give us the words to pray. So I've always, prayed to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. But it's okay, John, that if you want to pray to God the Father, that's great. If you want to be really personal and say, Dear Jesus, just thank you for what you've done for me and how you continue to live your life through me, then there's nothing wrong with that. And if you want to pray specifically to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, thank you for teaching me about Jesus Christ. Thank you for helping me understand the truth of the Word of God. Thank you for leading me and giving me a deeper understanding of the love of God. I don't think there's anything wrong with any of that. You're praying to God, aren't you? Whether it's God the Father, God the Son, or God the Spirit. And that's what God Correct. Wants, is for us to just converse with him, to have that relationship with him, to talk with him anytime and every time about anything and everything.
Yeah.
Well, John, thanks for your call. We're out of time, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Hope you'll keep listening and call again if you have another question, John. Again, good to hear from you. Well, we are indeed out of time. Remember, we need your help going forward, friends. Click donate at basicgospel.net to make your contribution, and we would love for you to partner with us. Well, till tomorrow, for Bob and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.